Hello, this is Dr. Alphonse Javed. As we draw near to the end of 2025, I would like to highlight the top five our Urban Voices podcasts of the year. This year, we have had a great variety of topics from people serving among Muslims to women in pregnancy crisis to youth in gangs and drugs to the mission of the church to self-care for ministry workers to technology like hybrid congregations and AI in the church. Enjoy the top five podcasts of the year and browse oururbanvoices.com for other great podcasts.
Even though they've been here so long, they've yet to have a significant relationship with a Christian. That's got to change. We have too many wonderful churches and wonderful Christians that God's placed across this country. Still, don't listen to the media, they'll tell you otherwise. We have a presence here that God is going to use to reach Muslim background people.
You are listening to Our Urban Voices with Dr. Alphonse Javed, a podcast that presents Christian narratives through diverse voices that impact urban ministry. Here is your host.
Hello and welcome back to Our Urban Voices. I'm your host, Dr. Alphonse Javed. Today, we are honored to have Brandon, the newly appointed executive director of the Heart for Muslims Conference, an organization that I co-founded many years ago as an initiative dedicated to loving Muslims, equipping the body of Christ, and connecting people for gospel-centered service. Today, this podcast is actually an outreach of HFM, and we have shared many episodes complementing Muslim outreach previously on the show. Brandon and his wife, Brianne, have extensive experience living and serving among least reached people in the New York City metropolitan area. Their time spent in the Middle East cultivated a deep passion for diaspora Muslims residing in gateway cities. Brandon, it's a privilege to have you on the show. So happy that you're here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Alphonse. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we get started, please tell us briefly about your family. And here's why I do this in the beginning of every show, because I think our families make us human. They make us relatable to other humans. And I think it's important for the audience to get to know you a little better before they know your work and ministry. So share a little about your family, brother.
Excellent. Yes. Without them, I wouldn't be who I am. And our ministry wouldn't exist. But man, I met my wife, Brianne, at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. And she's from the Pacific Northwest originally, and I'm from the Deep South. And so we met each other in Massachusetts. It all makes sense if you look at it on paper. We both had a calling that really began in undergrad at the university level, her and her setting, me and mine, where we met our first unreached person, really, a Muslim background person, hers from North Africa, mine as well, but from Egypt. And it's through the relationship we had there that we really felt the Spirit of God calling us to ministry among Muslims. And that started really kind of this long journey and process of God revealing Himself working among Muslim background peoples, but also us humanizing Muslim background people. And really kind of repenting from a worldview that dehumanized them. And both of us are very much in line with the vision for reaching Muslims and felt like the Lord was partnering us together to go on a grand adventure. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, I'm sure. But it's been a great journey. We have three beautiful kids. One is still a preteen, but the other two are teenagers, Abigail, Ruth, and Jacob. And we live in the New York City metro area. We've been here for going on 14 years now.
That's awesome, man. Let me take you to another question, Brandon. Sure. Some Christians may feel hesitant, you know, even though we're talking about this is a life, practical life. But some people may feel hesitant or even fearful about engaging with their Muslim neighbors. How would you encourage them to step out in faith?
Great question. And this is coming from somebody that was my answer is coming from someone who was hesitant and was fearful, and then saw Muslims as almost irredeemable, almost non-human. And so it really starts with the Lord can build a boldness in you, but that first engagement is kind of the biggest hill to climb over. But what I would argue, save for, you know, trying to learn all you can and specialize in Muslim ministry before you talk to a Muslim, I would encourage strongly that that Christian who might have fear or hesitation, one, seek out Heart for Muslims, seek out our associates and those who are involved in our coalition, that we can do a weekend or a Saturday tour of a Muslim dominant neighborhood and kind of facilitate your trying new foods, you interacting with new people, you learning a little bit about their background and where they live and how they operate and do life. That can help kind of break that barrier apart.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Go ahead.
You just said you're offering them, our audience, whoever is listening to this, and if the Lord is working in their heart and they feel like, oh man, this is amazing, I can interact with these people, because that will help with removing that fear, which is the vision of your organization, yes, removing the fear of Islam and promoting love for Muslims, of course, by the power of the gospel.
Amen.
So are you proposing to the audience that if they want to experience culture, if they want to have this new vision for Muslim ministry, they are welcome to come and be with you guys in Metro New York area? Are you proposing some sort of short-term missions type of things? What is it, like a vision trip or mission trip? What is it?
Yes.
I know I do want to hear the rest of the story, but I just caught something from there. So I want to pull that and explore with you, because that would be great if I was sitting in Mississippi, not in Metro area, and I didn't have anybody in Jackson, Mississippi, let's say, and somebody just brought this episode. I heard it as a pastor. I was like, oh man, I would love to send my people on a short-term missions. Rather than overseas in Middle East, I'll send them in little Palestine.
Yeah.
So what are you proposing? Mission trip, vision trip? What is it that you're saying here?
Yeah, so that's what I foresee for Heart for Muslims for the future. I mean, I operate as a director for New York City Mideast Outreach in the metro area. We've been serving for years with short-term trips. That's going to continue, but these other Muslim people groups as well will be engaged, and it will be under the banner of a Heart for Muslims. And yes, if you're a church, this is what I think is missing for diaspora, least reached people in general, Muslims specifically now, is that too many Muslims, I mean, forgive me, but I'll say too many Muhammads and Fatimas immigrate to America, and then they have babies, and then for 10 years, 20 years, they live, they contribute to society, they make money, they invest in neighborhoods, they invest in the economy, they're good people. And hey, we're blessed to live in a Muslim-heavy neighborhood because the crime rate is lower. And there are multiple things that they bring to the table. They come from really conservative roots and conservative understanding. But even though they've been here so long, they've yet to have a significant relationship with a Christian. That's got to change. We have too many wonderful churches and wonderful Christians that God's placed across this country. Still, don't listen to the media. They'll tell you otherwise. We have a presence here that God is going to use to reach Muslim background people abroad in the Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia, Southeast Asia. Yeah, over there. But I feel that similar to some of our other partnering organizations that we associate with, the Lord is bringing the very best from countries all around the world to our, I mean, these are people that have education, have affluence, have influence. If they come face to face with the Messiah and submit to him as Lord and accept his gift of grace and love for them, it could be that we see a great wave of Muslims coming to faith in Christ by way of these wonderful, beautiful people that the Lord's brought here to us.
Yeah.
Now, in order for us to make that happen or witness that manifest, we have to be involved in some way. And so, yeah, that is a proposal that I'm offering by way of Heart for Muslims and by way of our associate ministries, that if, as the Lord leads your churches to take on a people group in your vicinity, and say, this is who we want. And hey, maybe there's only 250, 500 in your area, and you want to come and you know, be exposed to their immigrant population in mass, so to speak. I guarantee you, New York City, as the most globally diverse city in the world, is going to have a big chunk of your people. Praise God, we've been here long enough that we can help pinpoint those areas and, again, connect you to people who are serving amongst them. So short-term trips, 1 week, like maybe 4 ministry days straight and a day off to go explore, you know, the wonderful metro, go for it. That sounds great. But I also want to see like a concerted effort in this metro. Whereas on like a Saturday or a Friday night, we have a local regional church come with a team to learn about Islam, to be trained Friday night, and then Saturday to be amongst Muslim background people for the day. And then that be a takeaway, like a little short-term trip, but not one that requires you to take, you know, a week's worth of vacation, but to change the game to where more Christians are welcoming Muslims into their lives. And it's not hard work. Like, missions here in the city is not that difficult. And that's one reason why we say, man, we've seen short-term teams come, serve, be trained in Muslim evangelism. We've seen Bible studies started among Muslim background peoples. From that, we've seen the Lord call people into full-time ministry on mission, whether it's abroad or somewhere else amongst the diaspora. From that, we've seen people profess faith in Christ or begin a discipleship relationship with a Christian who lives locally or nearby. It's a game changer. And so, yeah, I think that's definitely a role that needs to happen with missions agencies and local churches. We've got to partner together so that the church can respond to this wonderful opportunity.
So that's a great, great, great proposal and vision, I think, to eliminate the fear of Islam and connect people and encourage them to be more involved in their neighborhoods and have that courage to step out in faith. And I would love to see some sort of numbers that the people can consider. Hopefully, I will, toward the end, we're going to give them the contact information. So if there is because as always, also the second part is how much it's going to cost, right? So yes. To let them know what is that package so people can plan, because summer is coming. A lot of people wants to send teams. And I want to send team to you too, man, even though we live in the nearby area.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Let's do it.
Yeah. So let me ask you another question. Can you share, I think it's going to help other people too. Can you share a story of a meaningful relationship? Because you've been talking about these relationships, right? So share a story of a meaningful relationship or moment that illustrates the power of faithful presence among Muslim communities.
Yes. I mean, I have a number of stories, but one that comes to mind immediately is with a lady, we'll call her Kamala, and she actually was rooming with a woman in the New York City metro that had left her. She traveled to Florida because she didn't like New York City. It was too crowded. She moved to Florida for work, and it was there that, as she connected with Christians in Florida, she found Christ. She surrendered to our Lord and left Islam to follow the Messiah. So that's part of the story. She's in Florida. Well, she was worried. Miriam is her name. Miriam's worried about Kamala, who she left in order to go to Florida. Well, Kamala, this is during the pandemic season, she had COVID, and she was now without a roommate, and she was struggling. Well, Mary gets online, goes to Google Maps and types out churches near this neighborhood where she used to live. And sure enough, one church popped up. And it just so happened to be the church that we go to and are members of. It's called Astoria Community Church. She reached out and said, hey, you guys don't know me. I found you online. I have this dear sister of mine, Kamala, who's very ill, and I'm really worried that she doesn't have food, that she doesn't have medicine. Can you check on her? And praise God, Astoria Community Church was connected with people who had hearts for Muslims, mm-hmm. and reached out and said, hey, I don't know anything about this lady, but we got this phone call. Here's the number of the lady that called. Give her a call and see what happens. Kamala needs some help now. And because we were in the neighborhood, because we were ready, and because we served the Lord in this capacity, I gave my dear Kamala a phone call, and man, she sounded bad. she sounded really like it was not going well for her. Well, so because it wasn't a lot of knowledge, I didn't know much about her home country, but I got on Google. I'm not advertising for this wonderful business, but I got on Google and I typed, I don't know much about Morocco, foods from Morocco. And all of these things came up, they populated. And I was like, oh, Moroccans like to eat this. Moroccans like to eat that. Okay. Well, let's go. One, we'll go get her some halal food from that's hot and ready. And then two, we're going to stock her kitchen with some Moroccan treats and Moroccan foods so that she can be blessed. Well, I show up and I brought my daughter with me to introduce her to Kamala. Kamala comes down. She's got a face mask and man, she's looking ill. But this was one thing that Astoria Community Church did. They said, you know what? We don't have Arabic. We don't have the knowledge of Muslim ministry. But you know what we'll do is we'll help fund this for you. You go buy all the food she needs. If she needs medicine to help her endure the pain of COVID, buy her some too. We'll reimburse every dime. And so having that backing from the church, then they said, we'll pray. Having that backing from the church gives field workers like myself encouragement, big time. And we know that, hey, we're not out solo. We're backed by the children of God who are going to also fight for Kamala. We connect with her, deliver the ingredients, made multiple deliveries over time, got some other people involved who lived in Astoria that also had hearts for Muslims. These are neighbors, Randy and Debbie Smith, who are also associated with ministry to reach the unreached in New York City. They start making deliveries. I introduce her to other kids of mine. Over time, the Lord worked. And I'll tell you what happened, Alphonse. There was one day where she was sleeping really hard and she had to go run some errands. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make one more delivery to you, sister. I know you're almost out of it. I'm almost out of this COVID deal. Well, I went to a local grocery store that has Moroccan goods, and they also have a fish market inside the grocery store. Well, mackerel apparently is like a delicacy. And so I don't know anything about mackerel. I bought two mackerel for her, some couscous for her, some harissa, like some ingredients that she would be familiar with. And I put them in a paper bag, you know, and delivered them to her apartment and left it outside the door and texted her and just said, you know what, sister, I got to go. I'm busy, but I left some food outside. She goes to her apartment, sees the bags, opens the door, brings them in, takes them out, and she falls to her knees and just starts crying and says, my Lord, my God, how does he know me, Lord? And this is, you know, hindsight. We're hearing this story after the fact. But she told me, she was like, in that moment, I felt like I was seen and I felt like I was known by you, but also by their Lord, by her Lord, who she was calling and crying out for healing and all of that stuff. And in time, she met other Christians as well. We tried to get as many different people involved in her life as we could. And so she had Christians from African roots involved, Christians from South Asian roots involved in her life, from Arab roots involved in her life, from European backgrounds involved in her life. And I just felt like the Lord's love was just revealed to her. Mm-hmm. And she surrendered to the Lord and was baptized. And man, there was a lot of ministry after that, for sure. But it was that collective effort where people were like, you know what, I can't do much, but I want to do something. And let's do this, or I'll do this. And man, that was just but one story. And there's many others where
that's a powerful story of the power of faithful presence among Muslim communities.
Yeah, that's it.
When Christian community shows up, everybody does little bit, everyone is doing, and all together, God is doing something in lives of...
It's truly out of this world. I mean, Christian community, brotherhood, love, fellowship, sisterhood, how we are a family, God's family. is unusual and out of this world to a Muslim background person.
That's
amazing. How are they going to be drawn to him if they don't see how beautiful it is? We've got to let them be a part in some way.
Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. Now, this episode is going to be published right at Ramadan in 2025. How can Christians pray and engage with Muslims in their lives during the sacred time of the year for Muslims?
Excellent question. This is a good time for sure, even to begin Muslim ministry and even to begin that life-on-life connection. Mm-hmm. During Ramadan for a month, essentially, Muslims are fasting during daylight hours. They are praying regularly. And then at night when the sun sets, they're feasting with their families. And so it can kind of be a challenge to connect with Muslims during this time because oftentimes they want to rush home from work or they don't have a lot kind of left over because they're irritable people. That fasting is not always that fun. And so no food or water during the day. But because they are praying and because it is a special sacred time, that's a great way for us as followers of Jesus to connect with them and say, hey, it's Ramadan, right? Or are you fasting during Ramadan? Or, you know, you're Muslim. Do you guys fast during Ramadan, right? That can start a conversation, but also the Christian can respond and say, hey, I want to pray for you as you fast during Ramadan. Right. I want to pray for you and your family. Tell me about your family. What do you guys do during Ramadan? What are your traditions? Okay, I'm going to commit during this Ramadan to pray for you and your family. I'm going to commit to pray for your home country too and whatever's going on in that part of the world, but I'm going to pray for you and your well-being. And that is a small, seemingly almost insignificant thing to say, but that is completely different than what they're used to receiving from anybody. Usually a Christian will come and just do business and then leave it at that. And so there's no real kind of significant special moment that occurs in their life on the day to day. But you guys would end up, interrupting them in a divine fashion, so to speak, and saying, you know what? I see you. You know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to commit to praying for you. And then pray for them. Lift them up to the Lord. They're crying out. I think like Cornelius. Like Cornelius, the first non-Jewish convert, he was crying out to the Lord. He was offering sacrifices, you know, to a God that he did not know. And it was through him, really, the Lord revealed to him and said, hey, send some people to Peter. Like, you need to go find him. He's in Jaffa or Joppa. Send him there. He's got something to tell you. And they went and, you know, brought Peter down after he saw the vision of the sheet coming down with all of the animals and stuff. And he went, and sure enough, he goes into this place, to this general's compound. And as the Lord led him, he gathered all these people together to welcome Peter in and to listen to what he had to say to them. And so I think it's that kind of dynamic we have to factor in as we reach Muslims during Ramadan is, man, they are crying out to the Lord. They're desiring to be near to him. We can pray for visions of the Lord Jesus to enter into their minds as they sleep or as they pray. And really for a disillusionment of Islam as well, to where, you know, all of this straining, it usually leads to nothing and no difference in their life. We can pray for that they might find satisfaction around God's people and meet the Lord through his people. I would go and connect with them. You could also try, it's worth a shot to say, hey, I don't know anything about Ramadan. I hear you guys break fast. You have iftar dinner together. Is there any way I could join you sometime? Or maybe we could have a break fast together at my house? Please teach me how to do that well. You know, teach me a little bit about your religion. And then through that process, again, you have a life-on-life connection with somebody that is meaningful and significant. Then you provide, like Muhammad, for example, with someone to go to if he does have a vision of Jesus. Then he might on Facebook Messenger say, hey, brother, I saw something that was really strange. I need you to meet with me because you talk about Christ and you pray for me. And then he discloses that to someone where he he feels safe and that trust has been developed. And so it's not going to start, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be these little connections where, man, just speak Christ forth and just bless and love people. And over time, you're going to learn more about Islam. You're going to learn more about Ramadan, and you're going to bless Muslim people in the process. And they'll bless you too. It's great.
Yeah. How can individuals get involved with the Heart for Muslims, whether through attending the conference, volunteering, or supporting the mission?
Yes. The conference is great. That's a great first step for sure. I would say before that would be our newsletter. We have a number of opportunities to connect with the ministries that are already established in the metro area in the city of New York. Our vision for Heart for Muslims really is eventually to go beyond New York City to these other urban areas as well. We're working out kind of, hey, here's a great way to facilitate ministry to Muslim background peoples in your urban area. This is what we've seen work and what we've seen happen to encourage camaraderie and cooperation amongst various ministries in our metro. So our newsletter, we want to highlight ministries that are doing and engaging with Muslim peoples, that are connecting with Muslim peoples on the regular, so that you can plug in and volunteer in that capacity. There's going to be Heart for Muslims short-term mission trips where you can plug in and kind of be introduced to Muslim ministry, full-time Muslim ministry, so to speak, and learn how to engage unreached peoples in gospel-centered conversations. So there's short-term work as well. I mentioned the weekend for the local ones. We want to do a Friday night for training and connection, Saturday for engagement and ministry in Muslim heavy neighborhoods. That will be coming soon. We'll let you know more about that. And again, you won't need to make a lot of reservations, but our conference is really kind of the big thing that we do annually, but this will be the grandest of a number of summit-like meetings that we're going to have as well. By way of our newsletter, you'll be able to hear, hey, Heart for Muslims is going to host another meeting that's going to take place in Queens, or Heart for Muslims is going to host a meeting that will be in North Jersey or in Brooklyn. And so that we can get people that don't have to commit so much time and energy to come together and then encourage and be trained and then be launched out into ministry as well. Those are multiple ways. Our newsletter, again, will give you updates. The conference is going to be either the first week or the second weekend of November of 2025. We have yet to sign the contract, but we have some good ideas of where it's going to be located. So just keep those dates kind of open. We look forward to having you. And again, we're going to bring people together to encourage ministry to Muslim background peoples, to celebrate ministry to Muslim background peoples, to be trained in ministry to Muslim background peoples, and to be connected with people who minister to Muslim background peoples. And ideally, it will spawn and kind of launch a multiplication of ministry among least reached peoples in New York City and around the world.
That's awesome. So for newsletter, how do we get sign up?
Our website, heartformuslims.com. That's heartformuslims.com, spelled out all the way. And you'll have a way to sign up and communicate with us as well. So if you want to get in touch with me, for example, it would be by way of the website. And again, that just provides us with a little bit of layer of security so that if there are people that perhaps don't want to see Heart for Muslims ministry succeed, that way we can have a buffer between them and us in order that we might be able to strategically engage people that desire to have a Heart for Muslims seeing Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yeah, that would have been my next question anyways, that if listeners wants to get in touch with you or find literature, books, your books and your literature that your organization offer, what are the easiest ways?
Yes, again, heartformuslims.com is the way to connect with me directly. And then to have those kind of conversations, I try to keep a limited like media profile, just because I do do ministry abroad on occasion in the Middle East and North Africa. And so I don't want it to be too out there that, you know, we're changing the faith of Muslims. Really, we're not doing any of that. It's the Lord God Almighty who's calling Muslims into his kingdom. But yeah, there may be some players that might not be so keen on us. And they usually live abroad where they have the authority to act in that manner.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put all of this information in the description of this episode so folks can get in touch with you. And for the last things, because we talk about heavy topics, I would like us to close with a joke. And you are the one who's going to tell us a joke.
Oh, man, Jacob would get me because it's a dad joke. But, you know, I'm going to have to think about it a little longer. I should call him in here to give it. But it involves some numbers. But, yeah, it was like, why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. And that is such a dad joke, and that's terrible. But, 6, if you don't know, is afraid of 7. Because 7 consumed.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Again, that was Brandon. And thank you to all our listeners. We truly could not do this without you. If you learned something, have a topic suggestion, or would like to leave us feedback, drop us a note at OurUrbanVoices.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave an honest review wherever you listen to your podcast. Joining us.
You've been listening to Our Urban Voices with Dr. Alphonse Javed, which presents Christian narratives through diverse voices that impact urban ministry.